This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And it is brought to us by Every Week Great Garage Floors. Good morning and welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Let's say hello to Mary Meyer from the U of M. Mary, good to see you yesterday. Was it yesterday? Was it the day before yesterday?
One day yes, this week, right.
Anyway, it was my first trip meeting some folks from the Arboretum and having lunch there at Rootstock. That was a delightful time. And it was great seeing all of you and your colleagues and the people we hear every Saturday all together at one table.
Right. It was wonderful to see each other in person, right, Denny? Yes, so glad you could come. We were out at the Arboretum where the flower show is on, so it was a beautiful day. And, yes, a wonderful lunch out at the Rootstock, the new cafe that's at the Arboretum.
And, boy, was that a popular, not just the restaurant, but the flower show, the Arboretum itself. It was a sunny day, albeit a windy one on Thursday, but it was it was a busy place.
Yes, the flower show is really wonderful. You know, I've seen it two or three times this year, but the fragrance is so wonderful to just be in one of the rooms where all the flowers are, and it just feels like spring. It smells like spring. So there's two more weeks of the flower show. So it's been extended this year. So if you haven't had a chance to get out there, you have two more weeks. It's always a good idea to reserve your tickets ahead of time, and you need to do that, especially for the weekend. But I looked this morning, and there it's wide open for reserving times to go to the Arboretum. So a wonderful place to visit if you have company, or if you don't have company, just a great, great start to spring.
Oh, absolutely. It's such a great resource. In the meantime, we're going to have Mary answer, as usual, some lawn and garden questions. If you want to call in and chat with Mary, or if you'd rather send a text, either way, here's one number, 651-461-9226. We have a bunch already, Mary, which is not unusual. They were expecting you today, I guess. Here's one. I am greatly distressed. Uh-oh. Rabbits have eaten my three special golden leafed spirea down to the ground, and also a 20-year-old million flowering wine-colored weigela that was over 3 feet tall. Gorgeous has been sheared to less than a foot. None of these has ever been bothered by rabbits. With this year, they went rogue on my shrubs. Will the spirea come back from such a shearing, the weigela? What do you think?
Well, both of those are plants that if they are healthy, if they were in good condition, I expect both of those will come back from the base. It's a challenge, though, because it will take a lot of the reserves that the plant has in their root system. And, of course, they'll be shorter for a year or two. But it's amazing. It's so disheartening. Yes. What was the word? Distressed, right?
Yes.
The caller used. It is because animal damage can just very quickly decimate a plant. And, you know, we tend to see the population of wildlife comes and goes. It comes in waves and then it will recede. But unfortunately, this year, yes, I've heard from some of the Arboretum gardeners that their rabbits are really out eating things. And there wasn't much of a snow cover. Sometimes snow covers help us, and other times snow provides more access for a rabbit to eat higher a plant than it normally would, or different plants. But the best rabbit protection is really mechanical barriers with some type of fencing.
Yeah, absolutely, as usual. I know you and your colleagues were discussing a brief time about maple syrup, about tapping, but I'm looking at a text that asks, has maple syrup tapping started already?
Yes, it has. So the Arboretum has their taps in. They have three different systems that they show at the Arboretum. The end of this month, the 22nd, is when the big pancake maple syrup fest is at the Arboretum. But there will be school tours or individual tours. You can do a self-guided tour looking at the maple syrup tapping out at the Arboretum. So as soon as the weather gets warm in the daytime, cooler at night, the sap will start to flow. And so I think a lot of people have put their taps in. And normally we think mid-March is when the season really starts, but with the warmer weather and no snow cover and the angle of the sun, yes, I think it definitely has started now. Now, also, I should tell you, Denny, maybe you've seen this. We have something new on the Extension website.
Tell me.
These are called Hort Shorts, so horticulture short videos. And I was just looking at that this morning. There's a 1 or 2 minute, these are short videos on tapping the maple trees, which most of us talk about, but also tapping black walnuts. So that's a new thing. And if you haven't tasted black walnut syrup, wow, that is amazing. It's very different, much nuttier, different quality to the syrup. And they do tap the black walnuts at the Arboretum and then sell the syrup. So it's harder to find that syrup, and it's quite different. But the Hort Shorts up at extension.umn.edu are fun to look at. Those are new, very short videos.
I remember Julie the other day mentioning those. I'm going to check that out this weekend, as a matter of fact. That's a great idea, too. And boy, does that syrup sound tasty. Got to try that.
It is. It's very tasty.
I'm looking at another text, Mary, that says this. I had some trees removed this week, and my grass was torn up a little bit. Can I put down seed now like I did in January dormant seeding?
Well, you could, as long as the seed has good soil contact and it doesn't get washed away. You know, that it sounds like that might be kind of a messy area. And if you need to do any raking or otherwise leveling or something, I don't know how much good the seed will do at this point. But if you have exposed soil, you could try putting the seed down. The caution is, will it wash away or will it be removed? So you need to put some type of a mulch or something that will keep it in that area. Because if the ground is frozen, there's more risk of the seed moving off of it.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. And I'm thinking about this is March now. Anything can happen weather-wise. And we're going to be, according to this forecast, this week we could get some rain and snow. So it's going to be a mixed week.
A roller coaster. Right.
Roller coaster, that's a better word for it. Let's do this, Mary. I'm getting a signal. We need to take a bit of a break. Let's do that. We'll get back to more texters. Now, if you want to call and chat with Mary, ask your lawn or garden question via phone, that'd be great. Otherwise, just send a text if that's easier. 651-461-9226. Speaking of weather, I can tell you that we're heading toward 30 today, so it's still below average this time of year. But right now, 14 degrees, but 44 tomorrow with sunshine. Stay with us. This is a Smart Garden Show, and it is brought to us by Great Garage Floors. And welcome back to Saturday, March 1st edition of our Smart Garden Show. Mary Meyer from the U of M is answering any kind of a lawn or garden question you may have this morning at 651-461-9226. And Mary, as usual, we have many to get answered here. So let's get back to it. Another critter question here. The deer ate almost all of the leaves off both my large PGM rhododendron and my large yellow azalea. Now, if I cut the plants back, will they ever come back, or should I just give up and replace them, do you think?
Oh, this is tough because the PGM, that rhododendron, that is an evergreen. So, losing the leaves on that is really quite a hit. Only if those plants are really in great condition will they come back again. So the azaleas rhododendron, much tougher. And we usually think they're not so susceptible to deer, but in the winter, sometimes deer, they will just eat anything. So you can wait and see. I guess if they were mine, I would do that. I would wait and see what they look like and then decide whether or not you have to replace them.
Very good. This, you're going to have to help me with this, Mary. I am going to grow, a listener says. I'll spell it. I hope this is correct. Gomphrena.
Yeah, Gomphrena.
Okay. For the first time, they're going to grow that this year. The days to maturity, they say 95 to 110 days. Is it best to start the seeds indoors and then transplant them outside, is the question.
Yes, I would do that. Many of the flowers take longer to germinate, and so yes, I would try starting that indoors and then do the transplanting outside. We have a schedule on the Extension website of when to plant seeds and how long they take from germination until when you should put them outside. And some of the flowers start in mid-January, but most of them are now in March and then into early April. Vegetables take a shorter amount of time, like tomatoes, that's early April and so on, when to start them. But the Gomphrena, yeah, this is a nice plant, often very good for pollinators and for butterflies, but does take a longer growing season. It's also a plant that you can find in the garden centers already germinated, so you can buy it as a plant as well.
Sure. I urge our listeners, too, if they have yet to check out the university's website, please do so. There's so much great information in there, extension.umn.edu. We'll remind you of that before Mary leaves us today, to always check that out. And you and your colleagues, there's so much work and, should I say, a labor of love that goes into this. I mean, it really is phenomenal.
I know. It's amazing. We're always coming up with new ideas. Oh, we can put something new up there. Another new thing is this checklist at the beginning of the month, which we are today for March, what to do in gardening, or ideas about what you should be doing, thinking ahead, or thinking about what could you still be pruning, starting seeds, care of your houseplants, and so on. So the monthly checklist is another new thing that's up on the website. So, yeah, there's always something new, but many of the old tried and true things, what's wrong with my plant, what weed is this, lots of great information at extension.umn.edu.
And you can also connect with Master Gardeners, could you not?
Yes, so you can ask a question to Master Gardeners. You can send in a picture of a plant to try to have a diagnosis there. But yes, that's another way. Ask a Master Gardener, another way of communicating with Extension and finding answers to your gardening questions.
But right now you can ask Mary Meyer your question, either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. Here is another one, another texter. What do I do with my Easter cactus from last year to get it to bloom this spring?
Well, the Easter or Thanksgiving or Christmas cactus, there are a couple different kinds, but they all do best for flowering if they have cool temperatures. So cool temperatures, and the other thing is short days. So we are still in our short day mode until we get to the equinox at the end of this month, when we have equal days, and then we go to our long days. So the short days are triggers for lots of plants to flower. So you need about a month of short days, or you need cool temperatures like 55 or so. Either of those things will set buds for most of the Easter, Christmas, or Thanksgiving cactus.
Okay. Listener says this, with this warmer weather, have I lost my opportunity to trim my ash trees?
Well, no, but the days are fleeting. So we want to, pruning in the dormant time for our large trees is a good idea. So pruning now, certainly with the oaks, you want to get that pruning done before April because of the oak wilt that is much more prone to be transmitted in the springtime. So I would finish up any pruning that you want to do on any of the deciduous things. Now, we talked about this earlier, the sap starting to flow. So with a maple, birch, and so on, you'll see the sap come out now, but that is not harmful. The plant will stop that on its own, but the dormant pruning is something you want to finish up as soon as possible.
All right, I'm looking at another text. I've never heard of this, but that doesn't mean anything. I received a flaming KD plant. Does that make sense?
So flaming KD as in initials?
K-A-T-Y.
Flaming Katie. Oh, my gosh, I'm going to have to look it up, Denny. What is flaming Katie plant?
We're coming up to a break, so maybe during the weather you could do that. Their question is the way to make it flower again? It's a very healthy-looking plant, but it won't flower. So maybe we'll let you do a little homework while we're doing the weather coming along here in a couple of minutes.
Okay.
But let me move on to another text before we take a break. Another critter, the deer, have decimated my 35-year-old ewes. Oh, that's sad. There's barely anything green left on the branch. Will they survive is the question. Is there anything I should do to encourage regrowth? Should I prune the 3 to 4 foot tall bare branches that remain? If so, when? How do you answer all of those questions?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, this is amazing because here's you, another plant we think that deer don't really like that much, but then they get desperate or the number of deer increases versus the food supply. Well, here again, it's how healthy is that plant? These are big old plants, so they probably were fairly healthy. I think if it was mine, what I'm envisioning these long gangly branches, so I would cut those back in half. I have seen ewes come back from the base, but then again, only if they are really healthy and in really a great growing spot. So it's really a matter of tolerance here. How much can you stand the look of these plants before you have to really replace them? So I guess maybe I'd cut them back by half and then see how if those buds break, the dormant buds will break. It might take a long time, but, you know, by July 1st, you could probably make another decision then. Can you stand it, right?
Exactly. Someone mentioned they heard the word ewe. Anyway, before we break, someone asked, "What type of fertilizer do the ewes like?"
Well, ewes, yeah, this is YEW is a very common, especially foundation plant. It's an evergreen. It has a nice little pine-looking foliage, but yeah, it's one of our standard evergreens that tolerates, our terrible winters that we have. They are not particular for fertilizer. Usually fertilizer is not limiting, but I would, a regular 5-10-10 fertilizer for trees and shrubs. I put on a granular fertilizer in the springtime, but many of our soils have adequate nutrients. So unless you've had a soil test and know you really need nutrients, fertilizer is probably not a limiting factor.
Oh, very good. That makes it easy. Hang on, Mary. We'll take a break. We have about another half hour of the show to go, brought to us by Great Garage Floors. This is our Smart Garden Show. We'd love to hear from you either by phone or by text with your lawn or garden questions. 651-461-9226. Weather straight ahead here on Newstalk 830 WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. If you're just joining us, Mary Meyer from the U of M is answering those particular lawn and garden questions you may have this morning, either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. Mary, another text. When is a good time to put preen in rock areas?
So preen is a pre-emergence chemical herbicide. It makes a film over the top of the soil, so seed germination cannot take place, or hopefully won't take place. And so it prevents a lot of weed growth. So preen is not very selective. So you never want to put it down if you're in a vegetable garden where you're planting bean seeds, or if you've got a lawn where you've got lawn seed, because it will prevent germination for all seeds. But it really isn't effective until the soil is warm enough for seeds to start growing. So I would say, read the directions that are on the bag, but it's going to be when the soil temperatures get quite a bit warmer. So when you're thinking about planting seed outdoors is when you would put preen on as well.
I know there's a joke in there somewhere, but have you figured out what Flaming Katie is?
Oh, yeah. Yes, thanks for asking. So Flaming Katie, I think this is a common name used more with the British folks than with Americans, but this belongs, so Flaming Katie is a name given to Calancho, is how I learned to say this plant. Calancho, Calancoe, Calancoa. These are all different ways to say the botanical name for kind of a succulent plant. We see this a lot in at florist shops or as a gift plant for a small plant with bright, flaming, usually red, orange, or yellow flowers. So I think the caller was asking how to get their Flaming Katie to reflower. So Calancho is a succulent. It does not like a lot of water. It likes bright, sunny conditions. And it usually will flower again with short days. But some references talk about it needing a dormancy, where it actually likes to have a rest period where it doesn't, you kind of forget it for a while. So leaving it in a kind of dormant condition in a room where it doesn't get lights on at night might help. But otherwise, I'd put it outside in the summer. Most people, this is such a small plant when people get it, most people just enjoy it when it flowers and then they throw it away and then they buy another one. So florists have figured out how to get this to reflower. It's not going to be, I don't think it's going to be as easy to reflower as the cactus, Easter and Christmas cactus. But short days, try short days.
Right. Interesting. Always something new. Let's see, where else are we? Texter says, should I have new soil in all my rather large grow pots, which had tomatoes and zucchini last year?
Well, not necessarily. I've tried to reuse soil or reuse part of it and just add new soil each year when I do my containers. Now, I take the soil completely out of my containers. I put it on a tarp, and I mix it up. And then I can see how the structure is and how it looks. And often it's really wet when I do this, and I let it dry out for a day or two. But you want to make sure you don't have any diseased plants, like from tomatoes. I try to remove the tomatoes and the foliage and everything in the fall. Any diseased plants, if you had problems with that, reusing that soil can be a problem. But if you haven't had much disease, you can reuse it. You need to make sure that you aerate it well, and then you'll have to use some supplemental fertilizer with it, especially if you have a totally synthetic soil and there isn't any real, garden soil in there. Then nutrients will be lacking, so you need to use like a slow release fertilizer with it as well. But many times I reuse soil from containers.
If you have a lawn or garden question for Mary, you can phone it in. You can text it in 651-461-9226. Speaking of phones, let's grab a phone call. Ken calling in from Lakeville, I believe, this morning. Thank you, Ken. What's your question for Mary?
Yeah. Morning. Hey, I don't know if this has been addressed yet today. I've just got in the car. So anyways, usually my maple trees are flowing syrup by now. I drilled them a couple days ago, and they're pretty dry. So I don't know, what are the parameters that favors, flowing sap?
Yes, right, Ken. Given the weather conditions that we have, I would expect it to start flowing. But, the temperatures have kind of been a roller coaster. And so what trees like for sap flow is cold at night and warmer in the day. So we have had some warm nights, amazingly warm nights. And now look, what it is this morning. It's cold again. So it's hard to tell, but typically it's cold nights, warmer days that we'll get the sap to flow. So hopefully that will start. Only occasionally, if we have some really weird weather, will the sap run be very brief, and then it won't run again. But to my knowledge, that has not happened this year. Most of it has not really started in earnest yet.
Looking at a text that says, normally we prune trees when it's really cold, like it normally is now, but can I prune, texter says, this weekend, or should I wait for freezing temperatures again? Another pruning question.
You can go ahead and prune this weekend. Yes, it is going to be warmer, nicer weather conditions, but most trees do not come out of dormancy with just a few days of warm weather. And then they're also affected by the day length. So, but once we get into March now, with the days getting longer and longer, if we have consistently warm weather, especially warm nights, that can trigger some plants to bud out too early, which is not something we want to see. But as far as pruning, you're fine to go ahead and do that.
All right. Grab another phone call this morning. Mark checking in from Hudson, I believe. Mark, thank you. What is your question for Mary?
Hello. I'm calling about growing pumpkins or watermelon. And how do you control the weeds around the circumference of the watermelon or pumpkin hills?
Well, many commercial growers will use black plastic, or they'll use some type of a mulch system. And the warm season crops like pumpkins and watermelon love that, because black plastic will really heat up the soil, keep the roots warm, and those tropical plants like that really like the warm conditions. So black plastic is something you could try. If you want to use an organic mulch, something like straw, especially weed-free straw, is a good mulch to use. Some people will use cardboard or newspaper, but depending on the size, I think you're talking about, because both pumpkins and watermelons, especially pumpkins, get really big. It doesn't take long for those vines to really cover up the area, but for the first few weeks, if you have a mulch on, that will really help.
All right, very good. Another text says this: due to work on our well in January, we had to trim some of our rose shrubs down to about 1 foot tall. Is now the time to trim the remaining bushes down to the same height?
I guess if you're looking for uniformity, yes, you could do that. With roses, I usually wait till the spring till I can see what's dead and alive on the shrub, because you'll see brown stems versus green, and then you can easily prune them off. But I would wait till I can see what's dead and alive on that, because there's no point in cutting them off. But if you just are interested in uniformity, you can prune them off now.
Listener wants to know, I think it's a good question, I've got to do the same thing, is what's the process of cleaning or making sure there's no diseases in our pots when we grow tomatoes this year?
Oh, yeah, that's always a challenge. There are so many diseases that get on tomatoes. Growing them in containers is a good idea. We can regulate the air circulation around them, provide, plenty of not soil exposure. You can stake them up so they have good airflow around them. So containers does, I think, in my experience, reduce the disease pressure that you're getting. But as far as cleaning the pots, you can clean your pots with a 1 to 10 bleach solution. So one part bleach, like Clorox and so on, and 10 parts water. That is a nice disinfectant that you can use when you're cleaning your pots. If you clean them with soap and water and clean everything out, that's pretty well, but the bleach is also a good way to clean them. So cleaning them out, removing anything from the previous year, any of the plant growth and so on, is helpful. And then providing that good air circulation and staking them helps as well.
All right, very good. Let's take a quick break. We have more questions to get answered. If you want to call in your lawn and garden question, by all means, 651-461-9226. Or if it's easier like some folks, send a text instead. 651-461-9226. Just a reminder, Andy Lindis will join us next hour for the Home Improvement Show. Any kind of a home improvement question you may have in mind, we'd love to hear from you then. This is our Smart Garden Show on Saturday, the 1st of March, brought to us by Great Garage Floors. Welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, along with Mary Meyer from the U of M. Mary doing all the heavy lifting here, answering these questions as usual. Mary, we've got a bunch that we probably won't get to, but I want to get to this text, and I'm not sure if I've heard of this, and maybe you have. The texter asked about this red mulch you roll on soil people are advertising to grow tomatoes. Does it work? Are you familiar with such a product?
Well, there is a red plastic that you can use. And yes, I have read some research where red plastic has actually increased yield as compared to black plastic. But red plastic is kind of rare to find.
Yeah.
So maybe online you could probably buy it, maybe at some garden centers, but I think that's probably what it is. It's red. It's just plastic that's red. So you can try that and see if it makes a difference for you. It's going to do the same thing black plastic it does. You have to put this plastic down when the soil is already warm. So if the soil is cold and you put the plastic down, it's going to keep it colder. Once the soil is warm and you put that plastic down, especially black plastic, that will really help the soil warm up. And, you know, in the spring, we can have such variable temperatures that cool temperatures, especially on the roots of plants, is difficult for the tropical things. So things that like the warm weather, tomatoes, peppers, the pumpkins, squashes, and so on, they like warm, warm conditions. And black plastic can be a help. And then, of course, it keeps the weeds off so you don't have weed competition.
Oh, yeah.
So between the warmth, the lower weeds, and the moisture stays warmer. Again, if you have moist, warm soil to begin with, you put the plastic down. That's commercial growers use that all the time. They rarely will use open soil. They're machines that actually put the plastic down to help them. But you can try it. If you can find red plastic, you could try it.
Yeah, interesting. Listener Mary wants to know, when can we prune our nine bark bushes? They are the summer wine variety.
So nine bark, pretty much the bloomers in the spring. So just after flowering is the best time to prune them if you don't want to interfere with the flowering. If you're really more concerned with the form and how the plant looks, you can prune it right now. But the best time is just after it flowers.
We had a couple of questions about sap on maple sap. I'm looking at a text from some folks from Bethel University saying, we tapped several maple trees on the Bethel campus on Monday, and most of them are producing sap. So, strange weather.
Just starting now. So, yeah.
Okay. How do I get a totem pole to bloom? I did all the prep work, soaking in water, et cetera.
A totem pole. So what is a totem pole plant? Yes, this is the wonder of common names. So a totem pole, I'm going to look it up, Denny. Totem pole plant. I most of the time people are asking for training plants on a totem pole. So you buy these poles that are made specifically for plants to grow on. And they take some time, but really, these are not the ones I think of as flowering so much. But mostly they're cactus or philodendrons that grow on a totem pole. So I would say give the plant, not knowing what this plant is, the best light conditions. Because normally the most limiting thing for bloom for all of our plants is light. So adequate light totem pole cactus, light pink blossoms. Mm. This would be rare in Minnesota. I'm not sure how much you can do this, but best light conditions that you have, I'd give the plant.
All right, very good. When, let's see, do we have time? Yes. When and how do you repot a cactus that has, quote, rock-hard soil that still seems healthy in flowers?
Oh, gosh, I'm not sure if I would repot that. You know, if you've got a plant, a cactus especially, that is growing and flowering, this might be one of the small ball cactuses that can have those really beautiful flowers on. I'm not sure I would repot it because unless you're really convinced that the roots are coming out the bottom, that the plant is really limited because the pot is so small, it might not need repotted. There are quite a few plants who enjoy being in a tight pot and really don't mind that. Especially if this plant is growing and flowering for you, I think I'd leave it alone.
All right, very good. This listener, Mary, via text says this: I have ash trees growing within my viburnum and black chokeberries. How can I get rid of the ash without hurting the desired shrubs? They are a little too large to pull by hand.
Well, you could cut them off at the base, and that's going to, you know, obviously get rid of the plant. But unless you paint it with some herbicide, you can paint it with a herbicide after you cut it, and that will kill the plant from regrowing. So just cutting it down will take care of the ash, but they'll regrow again. So in order to keep it from regrowing, you need to put a herbicide on that cut. So most of these herbicides, they're not going to work until we get consistently into the 50s. So there are a couple of those that you can buy, but they're basically kill all or kill everything, or especially for woody plants. So when you go to the garden center, you just read the label, and that will tell you when you can start doing it according to the temperatures that are outside. So most of the time, it's just too cold now to do that.
I think we have time for one more. Good morning, texter says, how do you care for an amaryllis potted plant, and how long-lasting are they? I have not had one before. They love the show. Well, thank you for that. But how long-lasting, and how do you care for it?
They can be very long-lasting. Usually the most successful care is putting them outside in the summertime. So growing them as a plant outside with a lot of light, that stores food in the bulb to again flower the next year. So if you give them a lot of light in the summertime, they can actually bloom again. Some people give them a dormant period in the fall when they bring them in. You don't have to do that. They can reflower again if they're grown in enough light outside. So we have a lot of information on this on the Extension website. And Julie just did a short on the waxed amaryllis, which if you've got a waxed amaryllis, how to pot that up and have that to regrow. So lots of information on that at extension.umn.edu.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, thanks, Julie, for doing that, too. Yeah, extension.umn.edu. Check it out. Some great information. And before we leave, and we got to leave here in a minute, tell us again about that flower show at the Arboretum. That's been extended, and boy, people are loving it.
Yes, the flower show at the Arboretum is on through March 16th. 15th or 16th, so it's two more weeks. You can get a reservation ticket easily at the website, the Arboretum website. But there's a lot of things to see. There's some special events there. The art shows are going on. You can also take a walk outside and see the maple taps that are in now, and there's a self-guided maple tour. But the Arboretum is a wonderful place to visit. Yeah, for two more weeks, a beautiful flower show. The flower show is all indoors. So even a cold day like today, it's a wonderful thing to see.
Absolutely. All right, Mary, thank you so much as usual. Great seeing you and your colleagues the other day. And we'll do this again next week here on CCO.
Yes, always a pleasure. Thank you, Denny.
You bet. Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota. Now, get those home improvement questions ready for Andy Lindis, who'll be fielding those in the next hour. In the meantime, we'll see sunshine today. Highs near 30. Right now, we have mostly fair skies. See, what is that dew point at 1? Twin City temperature reading 14. Stay with us.